Radical discipleship, radical faith, radical grace. You're about to hear some stories that will rock your world.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, talk is cheap. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, I don't want to hear your talk. I want to see your power, because the kingdom of God is not a matter of words, but of power. There are a lot of big talkers in the world, but then there are some people that are doers. They're full of faith. They believe God, and they do exploits for God. And that means even when the situation is messed up and the world is messed up and society is messed up, God is not messed up. And God does not have a gray hair, so to speak, because of worry. He is ruling and reigning as king and working out his purposes in the earth. And I have a special opportunity, a dear friend. As long as I've known him, he has burned bright. He has been consistent. He has walked in faith. He has walked in love. He's walked in generosity. As long as I've known him, he happens to be in town for a few days. We were able to pull this together to get him to join me live in the studio today. So I'm going to introduce him to you in a moment. And we're going to share things that will encourage you and challenge you and stretch you. But every word will be true. Michael Brown, welcome to the Line of Fire broadcast. And I'm going to be taking the time on the broadcast to talk with my friend and find out about his life, his experiences, and what God is speaking to him today. But we may get to some calls as well. The number is always 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I may even take some questions, post it on my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, or via Twitter, Dr. Dr. Michael L. Brown. All right, without further ado, my dear friend Bob Weiner, many years ago founded one of the most powerful campus ministries in America, has been involved in a great harvest of souls in the former Soviet Union, has been a pioneer in the work of the gospel in China and other countries. Bob Weiner, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, it's great to be with you, my dear friend.
All right, Bob, you see what's happening in the society today. We know all the bad news, the economic problems, the moral problems, the social problems, a lot of backsliding, compromise in the church. What's your mindset? Are you discouraged? Are you down? Are you depressed? Do you think this is it's all coming down after here? Talk to our listeners, Bob.
It's really a wonderful time. When sin abounds, grace more abounds. You know, when Mary was told by the angel, hey, you're going to have the Messiah. You're going to birth the Son of God. She said, but how can this be? And the angel said, but the Holy Ghost will come upon you.
Mm.
And that's the answer. To all the listeners out there, let me tell you, I was part of the Jesus movement. You could say boo, and 3,000-4,000 young people would get saved in a day. I saw whole fraternities, whole sororities come to know the Lord. I saw whole schools get on fire for the Lord, where thousands of kids got saved. Ladies and gentlemen, do not be discouraged. God is not mocked, and we serve a mighty God. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the creator of the universe. And America was dedicated by covenant, and I guarantee you there is going to be a third great awakening. It is already happening. I just came from Boston a few months ago. I stood on the stage with one of my spiritual sons, and 20,000 young people out there from Harvard, from MIT, from 60 different universities, as well as the saints of the city, 600 churches, worshiping at City Hall out there for the glory of God. It's amazing what God is doing. He's pouring out his spirit. Another spiritual son at Yale, I've worked with him, helped him get fully funded. 350 people in his new congregation at Yale University. We just filled the Schubert Theater with 22,000 people. We had to turn people away. God is pouring out his spirit upon the young people of the earth, and America's coming home.
All right, friends, God is moving. Everyone listening, WEZE in Boston, God's moving even in New England. Back with Bob's own story of how he learned about the grace of God.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me say it again, friends. Talk is cheap. Nancy and I are people of faith, but we're realists. And in other words, don't give me your testimony about how you've been healed of polio when you can't walk. And it's 20 years later, and they just buried you. I mean, healing's glorious, but if you're really healed, you're ultimately going to be healed. Don't talk about revival when nothing's happening. Look, I hear, oh, God's moving here, God, and you show up and nothing's happening. It's just a lot of American hype. But when God is moving, we need to get excited. And I think some of us have become a little cynical, a little skeptical. Come on, I'm a New York Jew. Cynicism, sarcasm, it's kind of in our blood. You know, New England, yeah, all right. Yeah, been there, done that. We're not impressed. But when God's moving, we need to be encouraged, because one encouraging testimony can build faith. And you can say, hey, if it can happen there, it can happen here. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-348-7884. My special guest in studio with me, Bob Weiner. Hey, Bob, how old are you now?
Oh, 66.
You serious? 66. Yeah. Oh, okay. You would know it if you saw Bob. I mean, he is full of energy, full of zeal, full of passion. But you had a bit of a crisis about 30 years ago. What happened?
Yeah, when I was 38, I had a heart attack.
And what were you doing? What was the ministry you were carrying at that point?
Yeah, I had started churches on many, many universities around the world. But I was carrying the burden. And I was trying to do it in my own strength. And the Lord said, Bob, You're in this hospital. I said, why, Lord? How could this happen? He said, pride. I said, Lord, I've humbled myself. I've suffered persecution. I've been out on that campus every day at Berkeley and all these different campuses, starting congregations for your glory. He says, Bob, you've done it in your own strength. And he said, that's the highest form of pride there is. You're trying to do something in your own strength that only God can do by grace. And then he gave me the greatest scripture, and it changed my whole life. 1 Peter 5:5 through verse 7, it says, greater grace goes to the humble. Greater grace goes to the humble. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants to release greater grace into your life, power beyond your own ability. Greater grace goes to the humble. And then it says in the very next verse, humble yourself and receive this greater grace by casting all your cares, worries, anxieties on Jesus, for Jesus cares for you. He loves you. He's your daddy. And he wants you to cast every care, worry, anxiety on him every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He said his yoke is easy, his burden is light, his commandments are not burdensome. And so that day, I said, Lord, I want this greater grace. And he said, then come as a little child and quit trying to think that you can carry this burden yourself, and throw every care, worry, anxiety on me, and I will release power beyond your own ability. And ladies and gentlemen, it changed my life. And of course, I'm getting a greater revelation of that awesome grace every day. But by faith in God, you enter into grace in which you stand, Romans 5, verse 2. By faith, the more faith you have in the greatness and sovereignty of God, the more grace, power released in your life, including living a holy life. Grace is the divine influence acting in man and woman to make you pure and morally strong. You don't live, strong because you have a bunch of rules that you're trying to keep. You live a holy life because you're in the presence of the Lord and you have great faith in his power and his resurrected power. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer about me. I'm dead. But the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, and by faith I enter into grace, and I can stand strong.
All right, so the way I've shared it with others is rest and run. You find that place of rest, you realize you can't do it in your own strength. That was often my mentality. I can do more. I can take on more. So you realize you can't. You come to that place of divine rest, and now you can run more than you ever ran, because it's not your strength. You're not trying to prove anything. You realize this is too big for me. You know what it's like? It's like I could spin one plate, maybe two plates, maybe three plates. You get them spinning on that stick, But what if God says, get 1,000 spinning at the same time, then you realize I can't do it. So what God wants to do through us is so much bigger than what we can do ourselves, so much beyond our own ability that our trying harder sometimes stifles that.
Absolutely, because then we're back under the law, and under the law there's a curse. And so the more you try to do it through your own strength, the more you're left all by yourself. And so the key, again, the Lord spoke to me. He said to me, I want you to double all your churches all in 1 year. Double all your finance and double all your pastors and evangelists on the college campuses. I had worked for 10 years to start 18 churches. And I mean, worked hard. And I said, Lord, something's wrong. And he said, yes, Bob Weiner, something's wrong. Your faith level's not big enough to receive the destiny I put upon your life. Mm. Get your faith level up, and your yoke will be easy, your burden will be light, and you will do more in 1 year than you've done in your entire lifetime. And so the Lord gave me 11 keys to grow your faith, to win your family, nation, and world. 11 keys to grow my faith. And I got my faith level up, and my yoke became easy, my burden became light. And I was able in 1 year to go to 36 churches, double our finance, double all our evangelists. And it was the easiest year I ever had in my life. But can I tell you what happened the next year? The next year, it was so easy, I said, oh, I'll just do it again. And I tried to do it in my own power, my own strength. Yeah, It was the biggest failure year of my life. So, of course, you have to have a word from the Lord. But by faith, you enter into the supernatural grace. And by faith, when God speaks to you, you move your faith level up. If you keep 20 miles of faith for every 1 mile of problems you have, you'll always have more than you need. If you're making $300,000 a year and you've only got $50,000 worth of expenses in your business, you've got $250,000 profit, more than enough to pay any bill. But if you got $50,000 to pay your bills and $300,000 in debt, you're in trouble. And this is why most Christians are always under it, because they don't have a high enough faith level to handle the situations. In this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. But how does God overcome the world? This is the victory that overcomes the world. Your faith in God gives God the ability to come into your situation and move your mountain, and God has got to find faith in every one of us.
All right. What you just said could sound heretical to some, that your faith gives God the ability. Come on, Bob. God is God. God has all power. We're pieces of dust that he works through and raises up and glorifies. What do you mean when you say that your Absolutely. Faith gives God the ability? Explain that.
God has all ability. He's almighty. But even in his hometown, he said, I can do no great miracle because of their unbelief. I can give you 15 scriptures where it says, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has done this. Your faith. It's God and man working together, but God has to have faith to work through.
So that's the way he set it up, that he's a God of relationship, and he wants us to trust him.
Right.
And he won't do certain things that he wants to, like Isaiah 7 with King Ahaz, that Isaiah's prophesying to him and said, if you won't believe, you won't be established.
That's right.
I want to do this. I've determined to bless, but if you won't trust me, it's not going to happen.
Yes. God is totally sovereign. He can do anything and at any time. Of course, we believe that. But God operates by faith. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to any mountain, be removed, and it will be removed. He said to the rich ruler, he said, hey, I've never seen such faith in all the earth. And according to your faith, be it unto you. And so God loves great faith, and we can all have great faith. That's the great revelation of this broadcast. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you choose whether you have little faith or big faith, just like you choose. If you're going a 400-mile a trip in your car, and you put a half a gallon of gas in your car, and you say, oh, I'm going to just pray and believe that I'm going to be able to make it, you're going to need a miracle. But if you'll fill your tank up, you might be able to get all the way up there and maybe even back. And you choose whether you put a full tank of gas in or a half a gallon. And ladies and gentlemen, with what's going on in the earth right now, we've got to fill our tank up every single day, and we've got to be full of faith.
All right, tell us, we got 1 minute before the break, and then someone who used to work with you, we'll get them on the phone in a moment. But 1 minute, how do I build my faith? How do I grow in faith?
Okay, well, number one, you have to know that you choose whether you have big faith or little faith. Number two, you already have faith. Romans 12, verse 3 says you have a measure of faith, a muscle of faith. Number three, you walk by faith and not by sight, and you will be of good courage. You'll be courageous. You'll be bold and strong. Do not look at the things that are seen as the final reality. They're real, but the law of faith supersedes the natural law. And the last one that I want to give you before the break is your thoughts produce your hope. Your hope produces your faith, and your faith produces great results. Negative thinking produces hopelessness. Hopelessness produces fear, anxiety, and worry, which produces failure, poverty, sickness, etc. So it's a law. You know, what you think produces, as a man thinks, so is he. It produces your hope, faith, and faith, great results.
All right, friends, I hope you're writing this down. Let's talk about how this works out. We'll take a call from somebody who used to work with you, and then let's tell an actual story, a faith story, something you lived and experienced with your own eyes.
Good.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm sitting here with my friend Bob Weiner. Some of you hear this and like, oh, that's all that flaky face stuff. No, see, there is flaky stuff.
Yep.
In every segment of the body, wherever you are, it doesn't matter which group, which part, there's always flakiness. But Bob's message has always been discipleship, holiness, integrity of life. He's a no-nonsense guy. I can't mention places, but I mean some of the most famous ministries in America, major, major ministries, sat in the board meeting and told them, you're doing this wrong, the whole thing's coming down because you're tolerating immorality and this and that. What you need to know is that integrity and discipleship and faith can go hand in hand. 866-348-7884. Have you tried to grow in faith and you feel like you failed? Have you tried to believe and fallen short? Give us a call. Bob would love to speak to you. Hey, Bob, before we tell one of the stories of something you've seen God do, let me just grab one call here.
Yeah.
Louise in Boston. I understand you've worked with Bob Weiner in the past.
Blessings, Dr. Brown. Blessings, Bob. Yes, I had the humble honor and privilege to work and learn from Bob and his wife, Rose Weiner. These are people that give themselves to the gospel and for souls. You know, back in 2006, I met him while Lou Engel was here for 40 days of fasting and prayer, and they came here almost for 2 years, every single weekend, to do worship gathering and salvation events and an evangelistic conference. And I personally can testify how it has changed my life.
Praise God.
And they're so blessing. They just almost, you know, just giving themselves out, the money, just giving themselves particularly for college students, but even for ourselves. I mean, I'm an older adult, and he just blessed our church and blessed me personally, and I worked with his wife for a long, long time. And I just want to say, you know, love you, Bob. It's great to hear you. I'm so excited to be on the radio, and I love to
hey,
listen.
My brother. Gloria a Dios. Jesus Cristo. El Salvador.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Give my love to Boston.
Right. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you for the call, Louise. And you know what blesses me the most to hear, Bob, is that you got a vision, so you just show up weekend after weekend. You can't just show up one time and change the world necessarily. You got to make an investment, raise up disciples, pour into spiritual sons and daughters. All right. Let's see if we can tell the story in 3 minutes. How about the Thailand story?
Are you talking about Yeltsin, or are you talking about...
Oh, the Yeltsin story. How about the Yeltsin story? All right, let's do the Boris Yeltsin story. This
will bless you. By the way, just for our dear brother from Boston, just to give you a great story, I helped a young man there that was struggling. His father had sent him over as a missionary to Boston, and he was making less than $10,000 for the whole year. And he was struggling and was really discouraged. Long story short, I just began to pour into this precious young man. And he started I helped him fund the Boston Night of Worship. And many other leaders came around him. And the spiritual fathers believed in him. And we all started believing in him. And this young man held the first one, 1,000 people. We had to turn hundreds away. And then we went to the Boston University, 10,000 people. We had to turn tons of people away. I think we did that a couple times. We just did one less than 90 days ago, 3 months ago, at the city hall with 15,000 to 20,000 people worshiping the Lord from Harvard, from MIT, from all these universities. This is the miracle of what our dear brother was talking about. But it took a lot of time. Every week or every other week, we were going down there to encourage the saints, putting hundreds of thousands of dollars into the hands of these young people that wanted to start churches there, wanted to do evangelism, help, whatever we could do to help. And we just need fathers to love these young people. And long story short, I went to Russia 55 times. And Dr. Brown wants me to tell you the story. So,
well, you know what? I'm looking at the clock here, and some of my listeners are gonna not gonna shoot me, but they're not gonna be happy with me. We got to save this story for the next half hour. All right. But I'm just looking at the clock here. Okay, we got to do it to be fair to the story and give proper glory to the Lord. Bob, as we were driving up here from a meeting we were at this morning, I was just talking to you about the incredible open door God set before us to be on the radio, about the amount of people we can reach. And, you know, a single big station, you know, we could be paying $25,000 a month to be on it, but it can cover a whole massive city. And we're only doing it because people are standing behind us and supporting us. In other words, we're not independently wealthy. We've poured most of our money into missions work and other outreach work over the years. And it's just through people standing with us, torchbearers, monthly supporters. And you have raised works around the world just by getting 1, 2, 3, 5, 10, 100, 1,000 people to get behind it. Talk to my listeners for a couple of minutes. Let them know what you see and the importance of what we're doing here.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. You know, the word of God is going forth like fire, and you've got to have the Air Force, and that's what this radio broadcast is. You got to have the Marine Corps, you know, and the Green Berets and the Army, and that's sort of what I do. I'm the Marine Corps that goes in and takes these campuses and takes these cities, but you got to have the Air Force going out covering us, and that's what Dr. Michael Brown is doing, and I love what he's doing. And ladies and gentlemen, everything that Dr. Brown needs and everything that you need has already been provided by a loving Heavenly Father before the foundation of the world. And all you have to do is walk by faith and not by sight. And everything that has already been provided by grace will be released now into your life. And so it's very important that you sow good seed. And realize that those that go and those that help people go get equal rewards. So every person that sows on a monthly basis into great ministries like this, when you stand in heaven, all the souls that got saved through this broadcast, all the people that have been born again, all the people that have gone into the ministry, all the people that have got their life straightened, families straightened out, they're all going to stand with Dr. Michael Brown in heaven. Think about it. And you're going to be standing there with them because you are a partner on a monthly basis. Those that go and those that stay behind get equal reward, you know? And so that's why I sow. I love to sow. The biggest joy in my life is to sow into good ground and to help young leaders that are getting launched and help them get a strong foundation. And so I would encourage you. This is a great ministry. I've known Dr. Brown for years and years. This man is a man of integrity. He's a man of holiness. He loves his wife. His children love him. And it's an incredible joy just to serve him even on this broadcast today.
You know, Bob, thanks for the very gracious words. I always love Bob watching Bob pull his checkbook out and write checks to help other ministries. And whenever we've had special needs over the years, he's never once said no. And he's had a word, God's going to do this, God's going to provide this, and then he's written the first check. So stand with us. If you become a torchbearer today, our special resource offer, my book, Go and Sin No More, along with the 10-hour audio series of teaching I did on holiness and grace and legalism, it's a $40 value. You can get it for $20 postage paid today. But if you become a torchbearer, monthly supporter, standing with us, we'll send it to you as a special gift. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Friends, together, we're making a difference.
Don't you just love those scientists who disprove what we know to be true? Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. It is a joy to be with you today on the broadcast. Just sitting here during the break I had for my first half hour with my dear friend Bob Weiner in the studio with me. He is a church planter, planted student ministries. He has been a faith visionary leader around the world for decades, in his mid-60s, and burning as bright as ever. Actually, burning more brightly because he's grown all these decades in God. But just had a one-minute break between our first half hour and a second. Many of you just tuning in now. And I just tell him how I love being on the air. Bob, you've been to Russia 55 times. You get a word from the Lord once that's a little crazy. And one of those things, it wasn't God shouting at you. It wasn't a vision from the sky. You didn't have an earthquake, but you felt what, like a whisper of the Spirit? What did God speak to you and what happened?
Yeah, well, you know, I was going to Russia every month. You know, when it's so exciting when a door opens, you've got to be ready to go. That's the time of harvest, not next week, 2 weeks down the road. When God opens up a door to a nation, you got to go right then. And so the Lord had me go every month to Russia. In fact, you know, I was at Lenin's tomb, and the way it started was some kid came up to me that was coming to America. And he wanted to practice his English, and he said, "Do you speak English, sir?" I said, "Well, yes, I'm from America." He said, "Well, I'm going over to America. I've been sponsored by a church." And I said, "You're kidding." He said, "Yeah, there's 300 of us that have been selected out of all the university students in all of Russia that are going to go for a year, and all expenses paid." I said, "What's the name of the church?" And he said, "It's the Unification Church." Well, I just wept. I said, "Son, that is a cult. That is not of God." And I spent a number of hours with him to show him the deception so that he didn't do that. And the Lord spoke to me right there. He said, "Son, see, the cults have already come." I mean, the Berlin Wall had just come down.
Mm.
And I'm sitting there in Moscow, and the Lord said, "I want you to raise up an army. I want you to raise up tens of thousands of youth that will go and win 10 souls and start a little house church on every university campus in Russia, and then spread the gospel to the whole world." And by the grace of God, we started with 20 young people, sent them to 300 cities, and to find one radical young person that off the campus that had just recently been saved, to bring them back and train them for 5 days and pay all their expenses. Long story short, we found the top 300, and we baptized them, got them filled with God's love and power, and gave them Bibles and books and sent them back and said, "Win 10 souls in 10 weeks. They didn't know it was a great suggestion. They believed it was a great commission. Mm. And they went back and led 4,000 people to the Lord in 10 weeks. And I said, "Now bring all those young people back." And so they brought them back, and I trained them, paid for 10,000 hotel nights, 30,000 meals, 50,000 Bibles and books. And we did this every single month. I homeschooled my kids. I took my whole family with me. Brought 15 major leaders with me each time to do workshops during the afternoons, and we were able to train an army. Today, there's over 1 million young people in Russia. Well, long story short, Dr. Derek Prince invited me to do his conference. He had 1,000 of the top pastors that were he gathered in Moscow, and so I flew in to speak, and the Lord told me, like 2 weeks before I'm supposed to go, he said, "Bob, I want you to rewrite the Constitution of Russia."
All right, hang on. All right. Yeah. We believed everything up to then, Bob. We were tracking, the church planting and the people going out, winning 10 young people, and you bring them together, and now there are thousands being touched. And I was believing you, Bob, but now God, all right. But supposedly, God tells Bob Weiner to rewrite the Russian Constitution? You gotta be kidding me. But you have to believe what happened next. Bob's gonna finish the story. And Fred in Tucson, stay there. We want to talk to you when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. My special guest, a man of faith, a man of integrity, a man who lives to make disciples and reproduce the gospel, Bob Weiner. A guy that'll make you uncomfortable because you'll think you're doing great with your ministry, and he'll come in and look you in the eye and ask you some hard questions. And you're like, that is hell. All right, you hear Bob laughing in the background. Now, look, some of you hearing Bob talk, he's talking about the faith vision and God speaking this and that. And what does he get, like 20 words from God every day? And now he's getting these words. He's supposed to rewrite the Constitution of Russia. And some are like, I don't know. I mean, Mike, we know you. We've listened to you for years, but I don't know. This sounds a little flaky. It's flaky when you say God spoke to me when he didn't speak to you. It's flaky when you say God's given me a vision to touch the city and nothing happens. It's flaky when we talk big and our lives are falling apart. It's not flaky when you're Abraham, just a person with a wife who can't have a kid, and God says, through your seed, the whole world's going to be blessed. And you say, God, I believe you. Because it's not about you and me. And it's not about making you and me bigger and better. It's about God being exalted and people coming to know him so their lives can reflect his purposes. So, Bob, when you say God spoke to you, some of our listeners, they believe God speaks to them only through the scriptures. Others say, yeah, God speaks in visions, dreams, the voice of God. When you heard this, was it an outward, audible voice, or was it something on the inside?
It was something in the inside. I've never heard the physical voice of God.
So how did you learn to recognize it?
Well, I'll tell you how.
It's really simple.
The Bible says instant obedience. The late obedience is disobedience. So what I've found is that every one of you have a muscle of faith. I've already shared that in the first section in Romans 12, verse 3. Everyone has a muscle. The day you were born again, you have a muscle of faith. So the more you exercise it through instant obedience, the more that muscle of faith grows. It's that simple. So when you hear the voice of God, you know, and you instantly obey like a little child, no matter how foolish it sounds, you instantly obey, your muscle of faith continues to grow bigger and bigger and bigger. It's that simple. It doesn't come by listening to 1,000 sermons. It comes by instantly hearing the voice of God in that small voice and instantly obeying. And that's how, by the grace of God, you know, I've been able to hear the voice of God. You know, he says...
The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Jesus said his sheep know his voice.
That's right.
Here and there he may speak with an audible voice, but you learn on the inside how God's leading, how he's speaking, how he's guiding, and you become sensitive to that. So even though it's by faith, it's not just like a shot in the dark.
No, it's not. You know for sure when he speaks. And, you know, it doesn't happen every single moment of my day, but there are times when he speaks clearly.
And you've learned to just act on it.
And you instantly obey. If you don't instantly obey, guess what? He said, I will not reveal my will to those that aren't willing to hear it and do it. And so people wonder why they don't hear God. It's because God said it, and he knocked, and he knocked again, and he said, I'm not going to continue, you know, to cast my pearls. You know, he's not going to continue to keep knocking when we've got a hard heart. So the key is to have a childlike heart and instantly obey the Lord. So the Lord says, Bob, I want you to rewrite this Constitution. And I thought this was the craziest thing I ever heard. But thank God I had some friends that actually had given a lecture in Russia and had rewritten sort of a Bill of Rights and some of our constitutional things that like freedom of religion, trial by jury, all the different freedoms that are in our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. They had wrote it up into Russian and into English, and they had the. So I looked at the Russian.
So they thought these would be great principles if Russia could adapt these, introduce these.
And they actually did lectures in with the parliament members, and so I got a hold of these principles, and then I got the old their constitution translated. We looked it over, and then I put it together. and put it in English, and I had a Russian interpreter put it in Russian. And I'm still laughing, thinking this is a crazy thing. I put it in leather binders, threw it in my suitcase, and I'm going to speak at Derek Prince's conference. Well, it was Thursday night.
So where are you now, Moscow?
Moscow, at the Ismailo Hotel, at the big ballroom, and I believe it was the Ismailo, and I'm preaching away, and I said, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how this is going to happen. This is Thursday night. I'm leaving Saturday.
So you're going to say it publicly. You're going to announce it.
I didn't want to announce
it. But you felt. It came right out of my mouth.
And I said, ladies and gentlemen, before I leave on Saturday, I said, I will hand President Yeltsin this new constitution. And when I said it, I would have given you $100 million to get it back. These are the pastors of the most prominent churches in all of Russia, in the former Soviet Union. I'm going to get stoned if this doesn't come to pass. And I'm thinking, there's no way this is going to come to pass.
Why did I say it? And once you say it, you don't necessarily feel the faith anymore.
I had no faith. I felt my faith went down in my toes. And doubt and fear and anxiety came all over me. And I'm thinking, this is the craziest thing that I've ever done. Well, that was Thursday. I checked out of my minus 8-star hotel. You've probably been over to Moscow in these hotels. And I checked out and checked into a normal hotel. It was the Palace Hotel. And I had to get my clothes clean. I had to get a haircut. I had to get ready to go on into Europe. So I had to go to a regular hotel. And so it was a beautiful, brand-new hotel. And so I'm in the hotel, and they said, we got to close down. I went to work out in the gym in the hotel. They said, we're sorry, but everything is closed in the whole building because President Yeltsin is coming in 1 hour.
How many times had you stayed in that hotel before?
Never. It just opened 2 weeks.
It's just opened. So you just show up there, right?
And you know, you know me. I'm never paying retail for anything.
Right, right.
And my administrator had found me another hotel, the German hotel, the Lufthansa hotel, that I always stayed at one night. And it was full, or they wanted the full price, and I wouldn't pay the full price.
So you end up completely out of the blue, and for the first time in this hotel, you're going to work out.
And
the gym.
I got my 50% discount as a nice missionary boy.
All right. So you're going to work out in the gym, and then you get this announcement that who is coming to the hotel?
Yeah, they said the whole place is closed down. You know, President Yeltsin is coming 1 hour for security. Every part of the hotel is closed down. And so the Lord says, you're going to the party. He just said it like that. I said, Lord, but how am I going to get in? And he said this, walk. And maybe that's what God's speaking to some listeners. Come on. You know, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a righteous woman, not the leaps, but the steps. Take your first step and watch God. They went out and God worked with them and confirmed the word with signs and wonders that followed. So I took the first step, went up to my room, took a shower, and got my best suit on, my best tie on, and walked up to the ballroom. There's guards everywhere. And I just, you know, I got that little bit of chutzpah, and, you know, I'm from the streets of Chicago. So, you know, I just walked in, and I had my two constitutions in my hand. And I said, who's in charge? You know, and the guards didn't stop me, and I went right up to the man in charge. He was from Austria, who owned all the palace hotels for all of Europe. It's an Austrian hotel. And this was the first joint venture. And he was there to have this big presentation. All the ambassadors and media from all of Europe were there to cover this big event of the first joint venture in Russia. So here I am, and they pointed to who's in charge, and I went up to him and said, sir, I have a new constitution that I'd like to present to the president, to President Yeltsin. It will bring the greatest freedom and liberty and prosperity to this country. He says, man, they need a new constitution. He said, they really need a new constitution. He said, stand right here and let me introduce you to my ambassador. So I get introduced to his ambassador. He's introducing me around. All of a sudden, the music starts playing, and the guards check the room one more time. And here comes President Yeltsin walking down the aisle. People are cheering, trying to shake his hand. He won't shake anybody's hand. He's walking straight down. He's past halfway, three quarters down now. No one has touched him. And the Lord tells me, there's two sides, of course, as he's walking down the middle, and he says, cross over to the other side. And I crossed over about 3 feet in front of him, and he stops right in front of me. And I grabbed his hand and I said, sir, I said, I have a new constitution I want to give you. It will bring the greatest freedom, prosperity to your country. And you'll have to wait to hear the rest of the story.
So, friends, this is true life. This actually happened. Bob Weiner gets to present this document in Russia that he had in a leather binding, ready to present to President Yeltsin, whom if he tried to make an appointment to in 10 million years, wouldn't have happened. But it's true. Listen, all things are possible to him, to her, who believes God. All things are possible. If you believe what God says, not our fantasy, our imagination, but if you believe what God says, he can do it. He'll do it. He's faithful.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire. I'm sitting here with my friend, Bob Weiner. Wednesdays, we focus on the world, moral, cultural issues. Today, we're really bringing an answer to the moral, cultural issues, namely a fresh revelation of Jesus and a heart that obeys him and believes him. Bob Weiner, been involved in church planting, ministry planting, discipleship, reproducing, large vision for decades. God speaks to him, a gentle voice just on his inside and his heart. You're to rewrite the Constitution of Russia. Most of us would laugh at that, but Bob believes God. It's not about Bob Weiner, Mike Brown, you, me. It's about God. So he's in Russia. He has with him documents from professors who've been lecturing in Russia, meeting with the parliament, giving principles of a new constitution, genius of the American Constitution. He goes to Russia. He's got these documents with him in Russia, and he puts them in a leather binder, and he announces to hundreds of Messianic Jewish leaders in Moscow that he's going to present this to Boris Yeltsin. Just an act of faith, he says it. He ends up in a hotel he's never been in before. And in this hotel, they're shutting all activity down because Boris Yeltsin is coming to the hotel. Bob is able to get into the meeting, just dresses well, always in a nice suit wherever you see him, dresses well, goes to the meeting, and actually now is physically face-to-face. The only person, Boris Yeltsin stops to see him, the only person, and Bob says to him through his interpreter, I have a new constitution for Russia for you. All right, the rest of the story.
So I'm standing there in the ballroom at the Palace Hotel in Russia, and as Dr. Brown said, he walked straight down the aisle. He won't shake anybody's hand. He's going to the podium, and the Lord tells me to cross over, and I crossed over about 3 feet in front of him, and he sees me with the documents. And he stops right in front of me, and I look behind me. This is the amazing thing. Here, God sets this whole thing up, and I'm still not really believing it's happening. I look behind me. I said, for sure, he's got to be looking at someone else. So I look behind me both ways, and the Lord rebukes me. He said, son, what are you looking back for? I set this whole thing up. Give the president the new constitution. So that's when I grabbed his hand, and I said, sir, I have a new constitution. You know, and through his interpreter comes running over, and I said, this constitution will bring the greatest freedom and liberty to your country. And he grabs my hand so excited. He said, through the interpreter, I'm working on a new constitution. For the last 6 months, I've been working on trying to put together a new constitution. He said, in 2 weeks, I have to have it before my parliament for approval. He said, I'm still working on it. He said, thank you so much. Pasiba, pasiba. He grabs my hand, turns around in front of all these ambassadors from all over Europe and the media. We take pictures together. And here I am, the only one really not invited with an invitation. I'm getting a picture with the president. It's crazy. And then after we did that, he was supposed to go to the podium and give a speech. He never gave his speech. He takes the documents and he walks out the door with his entourage down the stairs through the limousine. It's like a half floor from the ballroom down into the main lobby. And he goes into his limousine and he's gone. 2 weeks later, front page of the Moscow News, it's an English paper, President Yeltsin proposes new constitution. 85% of everything that was in my proposal was in his proposal to his parliament. 2 months later, it was passed by the Russian parliament, including freedom of religion, trial by jury, freedom. All of the stuff that we had put in there was in the proposal that was passed by the Russian parliament. That is the new constitution in Russia today for the glory of God. Now, folks, if God can do that for Russia and use a simple person like me, what can he do for you? I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. Everything you hear is all because Jesus is doing the work, and all I'm doing is following him. Those that are led by the Spirit are the sons and daughters of God. So that's the good news.
And that's wildly amazing good news, and maybe the more amazing, it's one of many amazing stories. And Bob, what we need to do, most people listening out here, they're not being told rewrite the Constitution of a nation. They're struggling to pay bills. They're struggling because their kids aren't serving the Lord. They're struggling with depression. We had a caller, weren't able to get to him. He had to go. Struggling with sexual addiction, wanting to grow in the Lord. Just take a minute and a half and speak to the people struggling. Okay, God's used you in these amazing ways, and it encourages me. I'm a big visionary also. But not everyone is called to have big vision. And bottom line, if we can't live it out, they're called to have big vision in terms of their own lives. But not everyone is going to, you know, evangelize 10 billion people. There are only so many. The point is, we got to live this out where we are. We got to start where we are. We got to grow there. Take a minute and talk to our listeners. Okay, struggling with sexual addiction, struggling with that. Is there hope? Can I grow? Can I be free? Talk to them.
Yes. First of all, Romans 6:14 says sin will not be master over us because we're not under the law, we're under grace. So grace is the power beyond your own ability. It's the divine influence acting in man to make you pure and morally strong. So there is no temptation that we'll ever have that God hasn't given us the power to overcome. Yes, temptation is not sin, and all of us are going to be tempted, but God has given us power over it. Now, how does that happen? What you have to do is get into the Holy of Holies with Jesus. How do you do that? You the Bible says, come boldly into his throne every day and behold him. Look at him. Keep your eyes on him. Don't look within and be depressed. Don't look around and be distressed. Look to Jesus and be at rest. Don't be letting the devil condemn you. Let the Holy Spirit convict you, but then go into his loving arms and let his grace and let his presence come over you and get in the word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So you study the word, but then you also go into his presence. And as he says, as you go in to his presence, into the Holy of Holies daily, boldly, through the blood of Jesus, you will be transformed, metamorphosed into the very image of Christ. So there's not, you don't try harder. You go into his presence and you walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you keep your mind on the things above and you don't open the door to the flesh, you're going to stay in the Spirit. A man on an airplane helped me more than anything else. He was a very, very wealthy man that just did amazing things, and I'll have to tell you about it a bit later.
We'll get to that story. Friends, you can listen to the entire 2 hours with Bob Weiner at AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. And I want to strongly encourage you, Fred from Tucson, and others struggling, get my book, Go and Sin No More. It will practically lay these things out. It will show you how to walk in holiness by grace. It'll give you incentive to live for God. When you get it tonight, just put back in print, and we're sending free my audio series of teaching on holiness, grace, empowerment. Call 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. 278-9978, or go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the online bookstore. My bottom line today, God is not lying when his word says all things are possible to him who believes. Put your trust in the living God. Don't ask how big your problem is. Ask how big God is. Radical discipleship, radical faith, radical grace. You're about to hear some stories that will rock your world.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire today. You know I'm always charged and blessed and excited and encouraged. And even if I tell you bad news, I'm telling you God's going to bring something good out of it. Well, I'm all the more encouraged because I've got a dear friend and colleague. We used to joke about him that the only challenge he has is that there's only one world to save. He's a visionary, and he's going to encourage you and build your faith today. And what I want to tell you is what you're about to hear is true. In other words, we're not just going to give a lot of hype. We want to talk the truth to you because it's got to work in real life or it's not the gospel. It's got to work where we live or it's not the gospel. 866-348-7884 if you have a question for my guest today, Bob Weiner. He has been involved in church planting, student ministry planting, revival work, all kinds of vision from places like former Soviet Union to communist China and all over America. Sit back, get encouraged, get stirred. If you're just joining us for the first time on KDKR 91.3 FM or some of our other news stations in the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area, welcome to The Line of Fire. Mondays, normally on the broadcast, are my days of musing. Whatever's on my mind after the weekend, could be a biblical subject, could be apologetics, could be something happening in the news. That's where we'll go on Monday. Never quite know which way Monday is going to go. Tuesday, we focus more on teaching. We focus more on what the Word says about different controversial subjects or building you up in a certain area or apologetics issues. Wednesday, our focus is on the world, moral, cultural issues. And then Thursday, Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, we focus on things having to do with Israel or Messianic prophecy or Jewish background to the Bible, those kind of questions. And then Friday, free for all, you've got questions, we've got answers. We've got stacks of e-questions we answer, questions we answer online. And then, of course, we take your calls. We're deviating a little bit, but not really, on this Wednesday, talking about the world, moral, social issues with my friend Bob Weiner. Bob, do we need a new answer in the church? We've got so many fragmented families. We've got scandals in the pulpit. We've got young people leaving the churches. Do we need some new answer, or do we need to go back to the biblical answer?
Yeah, it's very simple. Jesus must be Lord of all or not Lord at all, and that's the real issue. We have counterfeit conversion running rampant. People have made Jesus Savior but not made him Lord of their life, and we've got to get back to the cross. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so God's not only asking for us to repent of our sin, but repent of self. I have a track, if they go to youthnow.org and hit students, big red button. I just did a big Bible school, 1300, and I made that special. You can get all the free downloads. And in there is a track called What If? And you can download it free of charge. And when you hit that button, it's 23 pages of how to really be born again. And we have 5 pages just on how to give up self and how to get to the cross and really die to self. That's the issue.
So we just come back. We've got a break coming up, but we just come back to the Lordship of Jesus and discipleship. It's the same message. Will it get the same results even in the inner cities of America?
Absolutely. In fact, we're seeing some of the greatest revivals there. But the stronger you preach the cross, the more power of God. The Bible says the message of the cross is the power of God unto salvation.
And it's even working on New England campuses. It may be foolishness to the natural man, but it's the power of God and the wisdom of God. All right, you're going to hear some things that will rock your world when we come back.
It's It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire broadcast, talking with my dear friend, a real servant of the Lord, man of God, Bob Weiner. I started the first hour, so an hour and 6 or 7 minutes ago, saying that talk is cheap. Paul said the kingdom of God is not a matter of words, but of power. A lot of people can talk. A lot of people have big words. I want to see on the ground what's actually happening. Okay, you've done all this church planting. Where are the churches? You've done all this disciple making. Where are the disciples? You've got all this faith vision. Where does it result? I don't mean to challenge it. I mean, if it's real, let's rejoice in it and teach me how to do it. And that's what my dear friend Bob has been doing for decades now, burning bright with spiritual sons and daughters around the world. Bob, anyone that's going to do something in ministry is going to run into financial challenges. And often, I mean, I'm always overflowing with vision and ideas. And sometimes the only challenge is we need more workers. We need more people to help implement. We need more funds. You had a crisis some years ago. You needed, what, $150,000, something like that? And this is some years back, so it'd be a few hundred thousand today. Tell us that story of what God did.
Okay. Well, you know, in Russia, every month I needed $50,000 to $100,000 to pay all the hotels, the food for 1,000 to 2,000 students. And we trained 55,000 youth. And then the Lord said, I want you to go to India and hold the largest congress for the students in India in history. And so we had 100,000 applications, and we chose 12,400 out of all these young people. We made them fill out applications and essays, and we had 50 pastors for 6 months go through them, and we chose the 12,400. Well, we're getting up to the time where I got to pay for all the hotels, all the food. We're talking 60,000 hotel nights, 300,000 meals, you know, 30, 40,000 books and Bibles. And I was $150,000 short. So I said, Lord, what am I going to do? He said, write to your friend in Taiwan, one of your students who graduated and now is back in Taiwan. So I sent my dear brother, Joe. He had a little congregation, a little house church. And I sent him a little fax. Back then, you send faxes. And so I said, dear Joe, I need...
He's a rich kid?
No, yeah. You know, I don't know if he's rich or poor. I just knew he had a little house church, but out of all the people in the whole world, the Lord said...
So he's not a big businessman. He's not someone that's so...
He just graduated from the University of Washington, and he just flew home.
So he's an international student, just went home. He's got a house church. Okay, well, hang on. Had he given, like, big gifts to the ministry
Never.
Before?
Never.
Okay, so it's pretty out of the blue that you feel to send this specific request to him.
I had no clue. I said, Lord, how this doesn't make sense, you know. I mean, he's just a young student that just graduated. Why would you want me to send a, you know, but I said, yes, sir. I learned to say, yes, sir. And so I faxed him off and I said, dear Joe, I don't know why, but the Lord told me to send you, my problem. I've got 3,000 students that I don't have sponsorships for, and I need a miracle. Would you pray for me? And if there's any way, that, you know, I just wrote a simple letter like that. The next day, I get a fax back. Dear Bob, my Buddhist father was staying over at my house, and the fax machine went off, and there woke up my Buddhist father, and he read the fax, and he began to weep, and he said, Joe, wake up, your spirit.
So his father saw, did you know he had a Buddhist father?
No, man, I didn't know that he was Buddhist, you know.
Okay.
I know that he came to faith at the University of Washington.
So you don't know any of this.
I don't know anything.
Fax machine, it rings like a phone, right? So that wakes up the Buddhist father, and he gets the letter to the son.
Yeah, he gets him up. He says, Joe, your spiritual father, Bob Weiner, the man that helped you get off drugs and get your life straight at the University of Washington, needs $150,000. I, as a Buddhist, will give that Messianic Jewish brother $150,000 so he can help reach the Buddhists for Jesus. And so a Buddhist gives a Messianic Jew $150,000 so I can reach the Hindus for Jesus. And the next day, the $150,000 was wired into my account. And I was able to pay for all 12,400 students, all the 60,000 hotel nights, 300,000 meals. And the glory of God came down. 8,000 people came forward and got filled with the Holy Spirit. 6,000 went into full-time ministry. These are university students. You know that a university degree in India, the parents have paid everything.
Yeah, yeah.
6,000 came forward to go into full-time ministry. 8,000 filled with the Holy Ghost in one meeting. Come on.
All right, so here, let's think of this. You believe in discipline and hard work, yes?
Yes.
All right, and if folks are going to work with your ministry, you have high standards, you know, they got to live right, got to have their lives in order, and so on. And yet, think of this. The amount of work it would have taken for you to produce that amount of money. I mean, you didn't know how. You didn't have access to it. But if you actually had to work, make $25 an hour, right, and work enough to make that $150,000, or call every person you knew, Mike, we need $1,000. Can you, right, to do that, be a mountain of work. You're never going to get it done, right? Or if you could picture that in, like, pennies on your back and you're carrying, that's the weight of it. Instead, God laid it on your heart to send one fax.
One fax.
To one kid, the son of a Buddhist. And God, listen, God, friends, God is bigger than you realize. I want to say this again. I hear flaky testimonies, and sometimes it's like, I want to believe, but I'm not sure. I know Bob. I've been involved with some. In fact, later in the broadcast, I'll tell this real quick. I think I can get this in this segment here. All right. The end of 99, early 2000, God moves on me in a very intense way to write the book Revolution. Many of you have this book, Revolution, the Call of the Holy Word. It's about to come out in ebook form with a new subtitle, Revolution, the Jesus Call to Change the World. I get moved on in a 6-week period. I write the book with intensity and passion, and I'm finishing the book up, and I feel the call one particular publisher. And I say to this publisher, listen, I want to get this book out. Can we get it out for Christian booksellers? We'll introduce the Jesus Revolution theme at Christian booksellers in June. And they said, Mike, number one, Christian booksellers, all the slots were booked months in advance. Number two, even if you sent us the manuscript today, we couldn't get it out in time for June. So we go back and forth, and they said, all right, Mike, if you can get us a clean edited manuscript by March 1st, we can get it out September 1st. And I thought, September. Who cares about September? Why did I write this thing day and night till I'm going to drop to get it out September 1st? Who cares? This is what I'm thinking. Let it be October 1st, November 1st, December. Who cares about September 1st? And one of them says, isn't there going to be that youth rally isn't that going to be in D.C. September 2nd, the call? I said, now I understand. I got it. And I called Bob Weiner, because Bob had called me a year or two ago. He said, Mike, I love your book, Go and Sin No More. It's an awesome book. I want to get 1,000 copies. I said, great. He goes, will you give them to me? I'm giving them away at this conference to young people. So Bob had a sense that I was supposed to write a book that was supposed to have this large impact. And nobody's anybody. God just works through people, because he has big vision and plans. So Bob, I call you and I said, Bob, I think I've written this book that you've been looking for me to write. And there's this big youth rally coming up, the call. They were thinking maybe 50,000 people will be there. And what do you say to me?
I said, Mike, we're going to believe God, and you're going to print 100,000 of these books, and we're going to raise the money and get that money for you.
And we're going to give them away.
And we're going to give one to every kid that comes there.
100,000.
100,000 books.
So I said, Bob, now, I'm a man of faith, but 100,000 books, they were going to sell for $13 each, which was a good price. There were 330 pages.
I said, that's discounted.
All right, 13. They were going to sell for $13, but I thought from the publisher, I could get them for maybe $450, maybe $5. So you're talking $450,000 to $500,000. And I owed the publisher $12,000 at that moment. Not that I didn't have any. I owed $12,000. Bob says to me, all right, Mike, we'll believe God. You can get them printed for 80 cents a book. I said, Bob. I said, the books are 330 pages. The best price, $450, $5 would be a great price. Well, we're going to pray. We're going to believe God. We can get them for 80 cents a book. I call the publisher. I tell the publisher the whole vision, all right? I tell the publisher the whole vision, and they get back to me, and they said, we've cut out the middleman, we've cut out anything. They said, we can print the books for 80 cents a book. Now I only have one last problem. I don't have $80,000, plus there's $10,000 shipping. I go to a meeting in D.C. I go to a meeting in D.C., and just a planning meeting for this event. I share the vision. A guy comes up to me and says, where are you getting the money from? I said, well, I'm writing the pastors, different ones. I got no money from that, right? I said, where am I getting the money from? He says, I'll give you the $80,000. Now, you have to understand, I never met this guy. He didn't have it either. God spoke it to him. He sends me the money. I end up $10,000 short because we had shipping, all this. I call Bob Weiner. I said, Bob, the whole miracle's happening. I need $10,000 more. He sends me the $10,000 more. And friends, when I showed up September 2nd, there were 100,000 books at the event and over 300,000 people. They told them only one per family. We gave away over 70,000 books. It happened. I'm an eyewitness. And faith operating in Bob Weiner launched that miracle. It's true, friends. It's all true.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Bob Weiner, my guest, challenges me to go deeper in God. He challenges me to believe God for more. You have to understand, the more that he's believing for is not so I can drive a Rolls Royce. If I had a Rolls Royce, I'd sell it and give the money to ministry, okay? It's to believe God for more so he can do more through you and touch more lives. That's what it's about. There are businessmen who are prospering and mega rich, and the reason God's prospered them, yeah, they may live fine, but the reason he's prospered them is because they pour into ministry, or they build homes for orphanages overseas, or they fund new Bible schools being built. God wants to trust you with more. If your heart is, it's not about me, it's about Jesus, it's about glorifying the Lord, it's about touching others. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm not planning on taking many calls. I may take one or two, but my guest, Bob Weiner, his website is youthnow.org, youthnow.org.
And then hit the student button.
All right, there's a red button, welcome students. So all students, go there. There's tons of free downloads, practical material, how to live certain things out, how to overcome certain things you struggle with, high school, college age, young people. Practical downloads, and they are free, as in F-R-E-E, youthnow.org. And to every young person listening, click on the Welcome Students button. Bob, I remember we were at a meeting in the 90s, and I remember you starting to talk about the vision for China and getting Bibles in China when it was much more closed and it was more difficult, and it was, what, smuggling like 50 Bibles or something?
Yeah.
Is that what he told you to smuggle in 50 Bibles?
No. He told me to put hundreds of, he told me to put millions of Bibles.
Millions of Bibles, yeah. In China. Now look, thank God for everyone that smuggled in one Bible. Thank God for that, because that Bible may have touched 10,000 people.
Yeah.
But God trusts different ones with different ministries. So how many Bibles did you get into China, and how did you get them in there?
Well, you know, just to back up just a tad, the Lord had already been so faithful to give us a miracle. I needed $100,000 almost a month, and I had no mailing list, no way of doing it. I had just decentralized my Maranatha movement, and so there was not really any support, or very little support. There was a few people monthly giving, but the Lord told me to do Russia, and I'll never forget it. I needed $100,000, and the Lord said, Bob, before you go on Monday to Russia, I mean, I had 2,000 students coming. I needed $100,000. I didn't have the money. So he said, take your retirement money out and give it.
Your retirement money?
Yeah. At that time, 30 years ago, I had $25,000 in my little 401(k). Uh-huh. So I took the $25,000. I'm not telling anybody else to do it, but I did it. And I said, Lord, this is yours. This is all I've got. Within 1 hour, Rick Joyner calls me and says, Bob, come out to California. Before you leave on Monday, now this is almost in the getting to be the end of the week. He said, God told me not to speak at my meeting, but you're supposed to do the whole conference. Well, I'm supposed to be with Oral Roberts at the Charismatic Bible Ministry board meeting. I'm on the board of trustees.
And you were there. You were always speaking truth in the midst of it, saying, yeah. Again, Bob is a man, as long as I've known him, integrity, honor, discipleship, live by the word, and always speaking into each of these situations. So you get this invitation.
Yeah, so now I'm really, Lord, what do I do? He said, you go out to California to Rick Joyner's meeting. And so I fly out there, and we had a mighty move of the Holy Spirit. Many people got right with the Lord. It was powerful. They took up one offering, $20,000 comes in. Now, with my little $25,000, I've got $45,000, but I'm still almost, $60,000 short,
yes.
$45,000 short.
Yep.
I said, Lord, what am I going to do? He said, get on a plane. This is Friday, the end of the conference at the Charismatic Bible Ministry. He said, get on a plane and go to Tulsa to the Charismatic Bible. I said, but Lord, there'll be only 2 hours left by the time I get there. He said, go. I said, yes, sir. I get on the plane, get there. I'm embarrassed to even walk in. 5,000 pastors. I'm on the board of trustees, supposed to be there. And I walk in with 2 hours left, and Oral sees me. And he says, Bob Weiner just came in, one of our board of trustees. Come up and share what God's doing in Russia. Just like that.
Really?
Out of the blue. And I'm embarrassed because I should have been there the whole meeting. But I just start sharing, and I don't say anything about any need. The moment I finish, 10 minutes later, someone walks up to me and hands me a check for $65,000. Rick Joyner then calls me and says, Bob, $10,000 more came in. All the money I needed came in, and it never stopped for 15 years. Every month I had the money. Then the Lord said, go to China and start putting Bibles into China. I'm at the same Charismatic Bible Ministry board meeting. The next year, the husband of the wonderful woman that gave this money comes running up to me. He said, God spoke to you about China and China Bibles. He said, I want to put the first $100,000 into your China Bible ministry. And he said, how many Bibles will that provide? I said, 33,000 Bibles. I said, but for you, I'm going to get 100,000 Bibles. And through a matching gift of Brother Pat and Terry Law, we were able to put $300,000 together and send the first 100,000 Bibles. Now there's 7 million Bibles that we've been able to send over. And the government says for every Bible that's getting in, 10 Chinese are coming to know the Lord.
Wow. And it was just, again, friends, please hear me. It's simply a matter of obeying God where you live. Look, you have to understand, when Bob was first saved, the faith step may have been give that dollar in the offering, because that's all he had. The faith step may have been share the gospel with this person sitting next to you on the train because they need Jesus. The faith step may have been skip this meal, take the $4 it would have cost you, give to the poor. It's not a matter of trying to do giant things. It's a matter of doing what God says. There's a little poem that says, find out what God would have you do and do that little well, for what is great and what is small, 'tis only God can tell. It's like exercising a muscle. Faith works by love. And we grow. We grow in grace. We grow in faith. We grow in the knowledge of God. And friend, God wants to use you to make a difference in lives. God wants to use you. During a break, I was just looking on my Twitter account and saw a bunch of messages, questions from one gentleman. And I can't reply to everyone, but I replied real quick. Hey, send these in. Good questions. I'll answer them on the air. He said, hey, I'm an Assyrian Christian in Turkey, and I read all your articles, and I love your material. He said, and because I'm witnessing to Muslims, they use a lot of Jewish arguments against the gospel. He said, I'm using your material to answer the Jews to reach Muslims. This is in Turkey, friends. We are making a difference. God is working. Lives are being touched, and he wants to use you. And I just want to remind you, if you haven't been listening this week, we are so thrilled. We have finally reprinted Go and Sin No More. I was so humbled and blessed when Dr. Bill Bright said it's a magnificent book, one of those rare life-changing books. It's now reprinted. When you get it today, we're giving you free with it my 10-hour audio series teaching on holiness, what legalism is, walking by grace, and we'll pay the postage. So call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. You can order at our online bookstore, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the online bookstore or 1-800-278-9978. And maybe today is your day to sow into this work as well.
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm having a blast of a time here with a very special guest that's been with me for the last hour and a half. For everyone just tuning in now, welcome to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you with my special guest, Bob Weiner. His website, youthnow.org. And if you're a student, a young person, when you go to youthnow.org, click on the red button that says Welcome Students. Welcome Students, and you will find a ton of free downloadable information. You know, Bob and I have a lot of things in common. And one thing is we love faith, but we hate flakiness. We love grace, but we hate abuses of it. And Bob, you feel that a central message for America, for the church today, comes down to the most basic of all basics, namely the Lordship of Jesus. So can I be saved, have my sins forgiven, go to heaven while rejecting Jesus as Lord? Is that a possibility?
No. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Only those that hear my voice and do it will inherit the kingdom of God. So if you say you love Jesus and don't keep his commandments, the Bible says you're a liar and the truth is not in you. Now, this is what the Lord said. You know, I didn't say that. And so, you know, here's the deal. I'll never forget it. I had prayed the prayer myself. I was even a youth pastor out in California, got saved in the Jesus movement. And here I am at Winky Pratney's retreat at Bethany Bible College with 100 other youth pastors from Northern Southern California. And Winky Pratney and Tony Salerno are preaching on the Lordship of Jesus and counterfeit conversion. Mario Murillo's there. All of us are there. Barry McGuire, the first folk singer, is there. All of us. We're all there. And the glory of God comes down. We get convicted of sin. We're all on our face. And every one of us realized that we were counterfeit converts. You know, I still believe that, you know, I could go out with a girl and, you know, I can't go all the way, but I could still make out and we get in the flesh a little. But, you know, I mean, that was the way, you know, way I thought it was because of the way I grew up and the way I was taught. But I realized after listening to Winky, Jesus must be Lord of all or not Lord at all. And I'll never forget how mad I got at him. I wanted to go choke him.
And he's such a non-confrontational guy, too. He's such a nice guy. Lays it out and tells
you. But I can remember how mad it was because he nailed my God. No one, you know, like the rich young ruler, man, he wanted to get saved. And Jesus gives him six commandments. I've done all those things. Then he nails him. He says, hey, this one God that's in your life, you got to give it up. Then you can follow me. The man was pricked in his heart. That's conviction. But he wasn't willing to pay the price and repent. And so, yeah, when you get your God nailed by the Holy Spirit's conviction, you get mad at the preacher. But ladies and gentlemen, I just want to challenge you. Jesus Christ has got to be Lord of all. I'll give you the greatest illustration that'll explain everything. And here it is. If you're about to get married, your fiance says, I love you with all my heart. I'm going to be true blue to you every day out of the year, 364 days out of the year. But one day out of the year, I'm going to cheat on you and go out with an old boyfriend, old girlfriend. How many of you out there in the audience today would be willing to marry that person? Not one of you would marry that person. Now, look, if you're not willing to marry that person that would love you 364 days of the year and just cheat on you one day, why do you think Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, is going to marry you, the bride of Christ, when you've got other lovers and other gods in your life? Jesus will not be unequally yoked together with his bride. Come out from the world and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. And then I will receive you. And then you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord.
All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. You say, I'm not perfect yet. All you have to do is say, Lord, I absolutely commit everything to you. Don't hold on to anything. Lord, everything I have, everything I am, everything I could be, things that are displeasing, I turn from them, I turn to you. And let's talk about what God does from there, how grace empowers us to live this out. Because it's not about trying harder. It's about being empowered by God.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, blessed and encouraged to be with you. 866-348-7884. My special guest, Bob Weiner, his website, youthnow.org. Bob, I remember, I would say it was somewhere in 1977, Nancy and I were at a meeting, and some guys that were on kind of a pioneer Christian TV show, they were there testifying. And as they testified, everything was a miracle. You know, they had no food left, and they you know, would take all the bone, the chicken off the bones, and then close the refrigerator. And when they came back on the next day, the chicken was back on the bones. And now, hey, God can do that. But at a certain point, Nancy looked at me and said, I wish they would stop smiling. Something seemed plastic about it, because you got the impression that they went, number one, from miracle to miracle 24/7, and number two, that they never had problems, difficulties, issues, challenges. You've seen miracles. You've seen God do impossible things. You tell stories that if I didn't know you, I'd be skeptical. If I know you, so I rejoice. And they inspire me to believe God for his purposes to be accomplished. But is that a realistic expectation, that we just kind of coast our way through the world by our faith? Or are there battles, challenges, difficulties, pressures? You feel like you're going to cave in. How does this work? And then after that, how does grace play a role in helping us do the will of God?
Amen. Well, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There's the whole picture. You know, persecution is like income tax. The more the income, the more the tax.
Say that again.
And persecution is like income tax. The more the income, the more the tax.
Uh-huh.
So you're definitely, if you're living godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. And boy, I've gone through it. Dr. Brown's gone through it. Jesus went through it. All the disciples were martyred except for John. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not getting any persecution, if you're not getting any pushback, then you don't have quite any much of a message.
Well, what about our emotions? Do we have ups and downs as well as followers
absolutely.
Of Jesus?
My wife can tell you. You know, I can talk, you know, faith. But there's times when I get so discouraged, I have to go to my website and read my endorsements.
All right, so you've experienced discouragement.
All the time. You know, of course, I don't like criticism any more than anybody else does. That's why the Bible says, go over the prophecies that have been made over your life, that by them you can fight a good fight, keeping faith. How do you keep faith? By remembering your past battles, remembering the wonderful words the Lord spoke over you, remember those endorsements that your friends wrote, over your life, so that when you're going through it, you can't, because the devil is the accuser of the brethren. So, yes.
And you know what I do when I need encouragement? I read the criticisms. I read the attacks on me, and that encourages me that I'm doing the right thing. Well, but look, the fact is, our emotions are not the barometer of truth.
That's right.
Look, I remember, Bob, checking my journal, because I've journaled daily for years now, and I started around 95 doing it on my computer, so you can just search for something. So at the end of 1 year, I did a search for the word feelings, to just see what I was feeling through the year, where my emotions were. And I don't journal about that every day. A journal entry may be real simple, you know, normal day, read the, you know, whatever. But so I got rid of all the ones that said feeling tired today or feeling sick, you know, got rid of all of those and just looked for the ones about where I was doing emotionally. And I saw one that said feeling like I'm on a mountaintop. Never felt closer to God in my life. I feel like I just reach out and touch. It was one of those amazing things. That I remember, yeah, that was incredible. After some meeting somewhere, yeah. And then I see another entry, feeling like I fell in a black hole. Feel like I have no hope. I mean, I have a lot of hope, but this is what it was. Feel like I have no hope. Feel like I fell in a black hole. And I thought, yeah, I remember that. You know what I didn't remember? The mountaintop was one night. The black hole was the next morning when I woke up. Nothing had changed except 6 or 8 hours. Nothing had changed in my world except I was on the mountaintop one time and then down in the dumps the next time. So we encourage ourselves then by reminding ourselves of what the practical thing, God did this. Yeah, when we couldn't pay that bill and take care of our kid and get diapers, God came through. Yeah, and when he spoke this word to me, it really happened, and he does have a purpose for my life. That's why the Bible recounts testimonies, isn't it?
That's right. The word of our testimony. One of the most important things is every day to keep your thought, whatsoever things are good, pure, lovely. There's 7,000 promises that are yea and amen. Now, if you go to youthnow.org and hit the student button, even if you're not a student, you can hit that button. I have prophetic declarations for 2013, 15 pages that a friend of mine wrote, and we put a little introduction on it by Mueller, George Mueller, who took care of all the orphans.
Prophetic declarations you're talking about in it, predictions, the stock market's going to do this and that?
No. Speaking the word of faith.
Ah, so speaking what the word of God says
about you,
promises from God to take hold of.
15 pages. I do it every morning. I've had more miracles since I've been doing this, more wonderful things that have happened, just because I said, listen, I'm not doing what I know to do. Part of devotions is to say the word of God out of your mouth. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. If you say to the mountain to be removed, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say shall come to pass, it will come to pass. And so, you know, the bottom line is our thoughts produce our hope. Our hope produces faith. Our faith produces great results for the kingdom of God. Yes, we go through trials. And yes, there's terrible times that we go through. But in the middle of it, we can walk by faith and not by sight, and we can stand on the word of God and go through. Every good person in the world goes through trials, tribulations, and tests. It's part of life. But if you keep 30 miles of faith for every 1 mile of problems, you'll have 30 times what you need to overcome in every situation. There is no excuse for heavy yokes. They're carrying.
What do you mean by a heavy yoke?
You know, the Bible says his yoke is easy, his burden is light, his commandments are not burdensome. 1 John 5:3 says his commandments are not hard, are not burdensome.
So in other words, even if God's calling to you is to climb Mount Everest with your bare hands, if you give it to him, he can make it so it's easy. You get to the top and say, how did I do this?
Because it's all by faith, which you enter into grace in which you stand. Romans 5 verse 2 says, by faith we enter into grace in which we stand. Again, grace is power beyond your own ability. How did David kill Goliath? It wasn't because he was just a great shot. I mean, come on. A little sling against this giant who had all this armor. You know, it was the grace of God. The number five stones was the number of grace that nailed that giant and took him out. It was the grace of God. Romans 5:17, through the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we reign in life. So there is power beyond our own ability, and God wants us to get serious with this. Hey, put away all this heaviness. Put away all this heavy yoke, this burden, you know, and start walking in the joy of the Lord and the peace that passes all understanding, because that's the fruit of the Spirit. Now, if you don't have it, get the faith to get it, because God did not cause us to walk around with all the, like the world. Why should we be like the world, having the same ulcers, the same problems, the same? No, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, and if we'll fill our tank with faith every day, we can walk in a wonderful place and speak the word of faith and put up our shield of faith and stop all the negative thinking.
And the goal, again, is to see Jesus glorified, the kingdom advanced, and he wants our lives to be blessed. We'll have struggles, we'll have issues. He's, you know, the goal is not for every Christian to be a multi-billionaire and you know, I just want to have more and more and more possessions. The goal is to glorify Jesus to the max. And if I'm depressed, discouraged, hopeless, if I can't even find a dime to get dog food today, how am I going to feed the poor in India? How am I going to witness to my neighbor and lead that person to the Lord?
And the Lord wants us to have an abundance for every good thing. Genesis 12, verse 3, through you and your children, every nation of the earth shall be blessed. That's for every believer. That's the original Great Commission. How do you know if you're a part of the Jewish family? Galatians 3, 29, if you belong to Christ, you're Abraham's offspring, you're an heir according to the promise. Then if we're going to take the world, what's the promise? That we're going to be a blessing to the whole world. Every Jew and Gentile that's a believer is to be a blessing to the nations. How are we going to do it? Deuteronomy 8, 18, I've given you power to make wealth, so that the covenant that I've given to your father Abraham would be fulfilled. that you would be a blessing to every nation. So God's grace is sufficient. God is able to make all grace abound to every listener, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, we will have an abundance for every good work. There is no more excuses. Rise up in faith, and let's take the kingdom.
All right, and Bob was quoting to you from 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. He wasn't making that up. See, where we've messed up, Bob, is when we've thought that faith prosperity is to make us bigger and better.
Absolutely not.
And which is just selfish carnal thinking. When we understand that God wants to bless us so we can bless others, so we can be channels, and so that Jesus can be glorified. Hey, friends, you got $1 trillion. We got places to put it with missionaries and workers all around the world. Visit Bob's website, youthnow.org. Click on the link for students. It's a red button. And download, that's what I'm going to do today, all that material.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, I am charged, encouraged, blessed afresh by the living God working through human beings. The question is not how big are you, how strong are you, how tall are you, how powerful are you, how eloquent are you. The question is, how big is our God?
That's right.
It's really the only issue. The other voice you hear, my dear friend and colleague, Bob Weiner, who has been steadily bearing fruit. You know, Psalm 1 type of picture, that person who's meditating in the Word of God and feasting on the Word of God, has it in his heart, in his mouth, on his tongue, and takes his delight in that. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water. Irrigation streams, probably is what the Hebrews saying. And that tree is always bearing fruit in season, and its leaf isn't withering, and whatever that tree is doing is succeeding. That person is why? Because they're doing the will of God. Bob, we love the message of grace. And years ago, I started teaching that grace is not just unmerited favor, but God's empowerment for holy living. Now others have been teaching that more, and many others are catching it, getting free. Now some are teaching it in ways that I would say have abuses and errors that can dilute it and mix the message. But you've been a grace preacher for many years as well. How do you define grace? Not just the mercy that saves us and gives us a clean slate no matter what we've done, but what else is grace and how do we walk in it?
Amen. Well, you know, first of all, if you're going to move in full grace, you've got to have a full repentance and you have to get to the cross and die to self. And that's why it'd be great if they could go to youthnow.org, go to our website, go to the student section, and there's a track, What If, 23 pages on just how to get saved, how to really go to the cross and get saved. And once you really come to repentance and receive the grace of God to be saved, then you put your faith in Christ, and by faith you enter into grace. And grace is the divine influence acting the man to make you pure and morally strong.
All right, say that again.
Grace is the divine influence acting in man or woman to make you pure and morally strong. You know, we've worked with hundreds of NBA, NFL players, some of the top names that you everyone would know. And most of them, I would say at least 90% of them, lived absolutely holy as single young people, making $10, $15 million bonus.
You're not saying 90% of NBA players live holy lives.
I'm saying the ones that we're working with.
Right. So hang on. Let's understand that. These guys have temptations every day that most of us could never imagine.
Beyond you can ever imagine.
Right. They are the superstars. They have gorgeous women parading in front of them, offering them whatever
everything.
They want, everything, stuff that you and I, just as regular guys, never been exposed to this kind of temptation. And the great majority of the players, even the married ones, are not living holy lives, not living godly lives. They're superstars, and they have, you know, this very sinful lifestyle or a lot of sexual immorality. And yet you're saying that you're working with saved NBA players who are living godly lives, and they're overcoming that kind of temptation.
Absolutely.
I thought it's impossible at a certain level to overcome that kind of temptation.
Now, of course, Dr. Mike Brown does not believe that. He's just throwing that out. He believes you can live a holy life. And
people say, but I mean, everybody's got to mess up some. I mean, come on, that kind of temptation. But you're saying you don't have to.
No, absolutely. And we've had some of the top Laker players that I mean, making $10 million bonus, you know, that gave the first kiss on his marriage day. I mean, and you see, we've been so subnormal for so long that finally when we talk about being normal, it looks abnormal, yeah. The subnormal backslidden culture. But, I mean, you know, I'm from the University of Florida. One of the pastor friends of mine got his worship leader to be the chaplain. We had 71 players in chapel every single week for the last 4 or 5 years. We won the Heisman. We won the national championship. And you can go to J-O-N Bush 13 on YouTube, J-O-N Bush 13, and watch the whole team getting their trophy. They didn't want their trophy. They said, we're not taking our trophy until the chaplain comes up and sings the team song. And he comes up, he couldn't believe he called him up. And in front of 100,000 people and hundreds, millions of people watching the ESPN presentation, the most amazing thing happens. He starts singing Majesty a cappella, and the glory of God comes down on this whole stadium. People are crying. You can go on YouTube, J-O-N Bush 13, and you'll see the blue jerseys, and hit that, and you can watch it. It's a 2-minute and 45-second video. It'll blow your mind. This is what God is doing. He's raising up Daniels. He's raising up Esthers. They're going to stand in the highest places and being people of excellence. No more of this nonsense. No more of this compromise. No more of excuses for sin. We can live a victorious, holy life through the power and the grace of God, not through our own strength. There's no way we can do it in our own power. But God is able to make all grace abound to us so that always having all power to live this life, we can do it for the glory of God.
All right, Bob, take 30 seconds and pray for our listeners for faith to rise in their hearts, for God to gift them.
Yes, right now we come against every spirit of every lying spirit that says you cannot live holy, that you cannot be a mighty warrior for Jesus. We break the spirit of fear, anxiety, worry. I command fear out of your life. I break every curse of failure off of your life. And I declare that God is able to do it through you, because Christ lives in you. You get to the cross and let Jesus come in and be Lord of your life from this moment on. I release the apostolic gift of faith for souls, for multiplication, for finance, for fulfilling your calling and destiny. No more excuses, because Jesus lives in you. Do not insult the grace of God that's in your life. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond whatever you could ask or think. From this day on and forevermore, rise up and let's take America and let's take the world back for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. As we've been sitting here today, I've been communicating with a gentleman in Turkey, reaching out to Muslims there using books I've written on Jewish apologetics to answer Muslim scholars. There's a note here, Bob, from Gebet's House in Nuremberg, a prayer house in Nuremberg, Germany, saying this has inspired me as they're reaching out to Christian students and also to non-Christian students in their prayer house. Friends, I'm on the radio because of faith vision that God's spoken to us to help spark a moral and cultural and spiritual revolution in America. And I want you to stand with me. I want you to hold our hands up as we stand for righteousness in this nation, as we reach out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, as we raise up and send out missionaries around the world. This week we've been offering Go and Sin No More. We've just reprinted it, one of the most important life-changing books you'll ever read. If you become a torchbearer today, a new monthly supporter, at least $25 or more per month, I want to send you the book Go and Sin No More as my gift, along with an audio series, a 10-hour audio series to supplement it. My gift is you stand with us as a supporter today. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and click on support. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, as I sit and hear these stories of faith, I'm reminded of what Paul said in Ephesians 3. God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think by his power that is at work in you and in me.